reading from Luke chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, October 14th, 2022, and I shared that section of scripture because today's topic is, what is your story? And I know this was kind of an unusual one to pull out of the Bible, but here's a demon-possessed man who encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, was healed, and then Jesus says to him, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. So may that be an exhortation for all of us to tell our story of what Jesus has done for us. And today's topic being, what is your story? And I will say, Jason was recounting some of his story from this past weekend, and we were all delighted and captivated. He was really animated just how God had used a little getaway to bring his family closer together, and delight in just these, what you would say, these circumstances. They weren't planned, and then this would happen, but then it brought to light kind of this fun thing, and it ended up not only maybe uniting your family, but you retold and told the story, and you had the consequences of some of these maybe misfires were even better stories that'll last for maybe forever, childhood memories, and it was just kind of fun. So we were all laughing and delighting in Jason recounting some of the story from this past weekend.
Yeah, some of the best stories are stories that are found in our imperfection and not in our perfection. Some of the best stories that we have are found in the mishaps rather than, you know, when everything went exactly the way it should. In fact, I don't know anybody who wants to read a book where everything went exactly as it was supposed to. Some of those stories, you know, of going up the, Mount Everest or going to the North Pole, what makes those interesting is there's points in that story where things don't go right or there's adversity involved and people overcome that adversity. And how do they overcome that adversity? One of the things that I love is that Jesus seems to love stories. Hmm. When we read the Bible, Jesus spends the majority of his time telling stories or also learning about other people's stories. He thinks there is a high price to be found in the stories of our lives and the stories of other people's lives. And one of the ways that Jesus did it is he spoke in parables. Mm-hmm. In fact, that was one of the main ways that Jesus taught, is he taught using stories. And what's fascinating about parables, and I always go to, when I think about parables, I go to Matthew chapter 13, because Matthew chapter 13 has all these different parables. There's the parable of the sower, and then the disciples come in the house and they ask Jesus, "Well, why do you tell stories? Why do you talk in these kinds of stories?" But then there's the explanation of the parable of the sower, the parable of the wheat and the weeds, the parable of the mustard seed and the lemon, parable that fulfills prophecy, parable of the net, parable of the storehouse, parable of the hidden treasure and priceless pearl. There are all kinds of stories that Jesus tells, and Jesus loves to tell stories. But when Jesus tells stories, he connects them to the kingdom of God. And the reason that he does that is because Jesus continually, one of the most often used phrases that Jesus likes to quote is he says, "The kingdom of God is at hand. It is near. It is upon you. It is right here." And what he's saying is, "I'm right here. I'm right here." So when the kingdom of God is here and it is at hand, what does the kingdom of God made manifest in flesh as the person of Jesus Christ want to do? Tell stories and hear stories. Hmm. And so I'd love for just to maybe take a few minutes. Tell a couple stories. Each one of you not tell a couple stories. Let's tell a couple stories. Stories about your life. Now, you don't have to go and tell me a distinctly Christian story. Just tell me a fun story from your life. Elmer, you have got some. I know it.
Well, I was thinking about that last night while I was trying to sleep. And the thing I came up with, I was thinking, you know, when I was young, growing up, still home with my folks and that, you always think about what life is going to be like. And I thought, well, as that age where you want to be like your father, because you always look up to your father. But now I'm a little bit older than that already, and life is nearing the end. And I was thinking, what is my story today? I was thinking, my story today really is, what do I really want to do? And I really want to help people come to understand who Jesus was and what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So they would come to know what the Bible has to say. Because so many people know when Jesus was born and when he died. But there's a whole bunch of things. As Jason was saying, in Matthew, he talks about all the things that Jesus talked about. But those are the things that we have to learn about.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing for my story today, is trying to follow the Lord and try to tell others about who the Lord is.
Anybody else? Mark, I know you always have a story.
Well, I was just right now trying to think what's a short story, because all my stories are so long. I was thinking like the Fisher Tower story, the adoption of Esther story, the Holly story, the meeting the Lord story. So maybe I'll just start with that. Around the age of 11, I remember being on a youth camp up at Lake Geneva. It was a star-filled sky. We were at a campfire, and this was after a large group session, so, you know, all the boys went into their little huddles with their counselor and talked about what was just said and shared. And I just remember looking up at the stars thinking, there has to be a God. I mean, this didn't just all come together. And as the counselor was talking through how the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners, I just remember the conviction coming over my heart. And as a like an 11-year-old boy, you would never show emotions or cry in front of other boys. You'd be known as the crybaby. But about three or four of us just broke out in tears, because however the Holy Spirit brought that conviction, knowing that we were sinners separated from God. But I remember sitting at the campfire saying, I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior, and ask him into my heart. And anytime I look up at the stars and see the sky like that, I'm just always reminded of that decision that I made and following Jesus and being around a campfire. And so being around nature always brings me into that higher awareness of God. So that's just one short story. All these other ones would take 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now tell me a story about somebody you know. Maybe even somebody who's not a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me a story about somebody you know who's not a Christian.
Mm.
Don't use names, because we're on the radio.
Yeah.
But tell me a story about somebody you know who's not a Christian.
Well, I'll jump in, because I had shared with some of you just before this broadcast, I have this wonderful friend who I sometimes accuse him of being more of a Christian than the Christians I know, but he's not a believer yet. He still struggles with how can God be man and how can Jesus be God, and how this virgin birth is a apparent stumbling block to him. How can, you know, there be a virgin birth? But what's interesting about this individual is he'd be the first to pull over on the side of the road and help you out. He'd be the first to assist you or be that good Samaritan that would help in your time of need. He'd be the first one to show care and compassion. And it's kind of amazing how God has used him in my life. And I kid with him. I said to this individual, I'll say, you know, you are more of a Christian than many I know, but I hope someday that you're going to come to that understanding that God loves you, that he's Lord and Savior, and he desires you to know him. And he's said things like, and it's really touching, I want to have that faith. I want to have what you believe. But he's been put into my life as just a reminder that God desires all to come to know him. And, you know, we just have to pray and wait on God. But he's a very dear friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anybody else?
Well, I was just going to say with that, I'd like to say a little bit about, I've got three boys and how different they are.
Hmm.
Our oldest boy, when he was born, he started growing. He was just bigger than everybody else. And along with that comes his whole idea of, he had a warm feeling for everyone, for especially the underdog in that. He's always helping someone else. As big as he was and everything, why, they always thought, well, probably he'll be a good basketball player or something like that, but he never did play basketball. But one time, when he was in probably third or fourth grade, he was in a classroom with a little girl who was going blind.
Hmm.
And every day he would be there just helping her out and helping her with her lessons and that, simply because he just felt that he wanted to help.
Mm.
And that's just kind of the way he was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing how the Lord was leading him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the reason I ask that question is because Mark opened the show with the reading about the demon-possessed man. And when we look at the parables, we see a myriad of different kinds of people that Jesus talks about in the parables. In fact, in the parables, Jesus talks about fathers and sons and farmers and sowers and shepherds and sheep and kings and servants and husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and workers in the field and overseers and landowners. He talks about all different kinds of facets of life. And Jesus talks about them in such a way that he understands their stories. He understands the lives that they lead. He understands what it means to work in the fields. I think that Jesus spent a lot of time listening to people talk and watching them live their lives and that. And oftentimes what sometimes we can get ourselves trapped into is, hey, you know what you need to do, especially with somebody who doesn't know Jesus. People, you know what you need to do? You need to come to church. And yet when I read the Bible, one of the things I've been looking for, and I can't find it in the Gospels, is Jesus telling people they need to come to the temple. I never find Jesus like, you know, we just got to get you to the temple. You want to go to the temple with me? He never says that. Mm. But what he does is he meets people where they're at, even unbelievers, gets to know their story and who they are, and then he begins to show them how there's a place for them, no matter what their story is, in the kingdom of God. He shows them that no matter who they are, no matter how high or how low they are on the totem pole, that there's a place in God's kingdom for them to exist, for them to be, and that God is actually at work. He's at hand. He's near to them, and they just don't know it. Sometimes because they think that there's no way God could be involved in what I'm doing. My job is so paltry. It's so small. I think about in Matthew chapter 13, I mean, the parable of the sower is one of the most beloved parables of Jesus. And yet the position of a sower was one that anybody could do. Anybody who can put their hand at their side and flick their wrist could become a sower, because all you did was throw some seed on the ground. And so the sower would probably say, well, I'm nothing special. Mm-hmm. And yet how about this? Without the sower, how does the seed get in the ground? Without the sower, how does that growth begin? And so Jesus thinks that the sower is actually one of the most important people. In fact, Jesus says that I'm going to take the position that looks like it is the lowest position, and I'm going to show you that in terms of the kingdom of God, it's actually one of the most important. It's the person who goes around and sows seed. Now for him, seed is the gospel. Seed is the word of God. But he was telling these people who had this job that everyone would think was not that special of a job, he was saying, actually, your job is really important. And I don't think he could authoritatively speak into the lives of these certain kinds of people without knowing their stories. You know, it reminded me of John chapter 5, where Jesus meets the man by the pools of Bethsaida. You know, and he walks up to him and he said, and the Bible even says there was a man there who had been disabled for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, he realized he'd been there a long time. Well, Jesus, I think, had heard the story probably about the man who had been lying there for a long time. And then Jesus said to him, do you want to get well? Jesus knew he was disabled. Jesus knew things about his story. Enough to know about his story that he could make an invitation to him to come to the kingdom of God. This is what I found, is that when I come across people, it's more helpful for me to spend time just listening to them and learning their story than it is for me to go, hey, you know what you really need to do? You need to come to church. You need to come to church. Because the first thing I need for them to see is that their story matters. How can we show people that their story matters? By listening to them. Mm-hmm. By knowing about their story. So one of the things that I think is so fascinating is I love to listen to people's stories. And then inadvertently, because I love coffee shops, if you sit in a coffee shop with somebody, other people that you know will come in. And so I love it. I love the look on certain people's face when you say, hey, Tom, it's good to see you. Have you met my new friend Jim? You know what Jim does? Jim loves to work on wood. He likes to build things with wood. We should see some of the pictures of things that he has with wood. And all of a sudden, Jim's got his phone out, and he's showing Tom the pictures of things that he's done, like woodworking and things like that. And I only know that because I listened to the story. I listened to the things that he was passionate about. And then it was fascinating. At one point, and I'm using Jim as not his name, but at one point I said, you know what? I said, Jesus was a builder. Hmm. Jesus loved to build things. He goes, what? What do you mean Jesus loved it? I said, yeah, the word that they used for the job that Jesus did was tekton. He was a builder. They say he was a carpenter, but he was a builder. He liked to build things. I said, but that seems a lot like God, doesn't it? Because God made the whole world. God loves to build things. God loves to create things. And all of a sudden, this guy who builds with wood goes, maybe there's a place in the kingdom of God for me. Hmm. And we learn that, we show that, by listening to their stories.
You know, Jason, I wrote down twice, two different places, listening, and today's topic is, what is your story? But then I kind of rewrote, what is your neighbor's story? Because if we use this technique of listening, and you're not overtly saying that, but the conviction I'm feeling is, how good of a listener am I? I love to tell a story, but am I listening to all the stories out there? Am I valuing those individuals? Am I honoring them by hearing and asking them questions? And I was thinking, what is my neighbor's story? That might be the exhortation for all of us today. Let's go out and listen and find out what our neighbor's stories are.
So here's my secret mission, is if I said to you, tell me your testimony, give me your 1 minute elevator. You know, they say in evangelism, you should be able to give a 1 minute elevator pitch, a 3 minute longer story, and then you should be able to give the cup of coffee story, which has got all the details about how you met Jesus and how Jesus radically changed your life. And if we go around the room, we probably all could do that, right? In some varying forms. But here's my question. Can you give the 1 minute elevator pitch about your neighbor's story? Can you give the 3 minute elevator pitch on their story? Have we embraced who they are in such a way that we can tell their story in a way that honors them? And listen, we're good at telling people's stories when we tell all the bad things. But can we tell our neighbor's story in such a way that we know them, that we have the proof, the evidence, that we have spent time with them, not only sitting with them, but listening to them? And I would argue that when you can do that, you love people in a way, because I think what people want more than anything is to be known. And God sends us, I think, first and foremost as his ambassadors to say to people, you're known, the kingdom of heaven is near, and the invitation for you to come and bring your story into the kingdom of God is right here. In fact, your story is a part of the kingdom of God. And God can use all different kinds of people from all different backgrounds. Listen, are you addicted to drugs? Well, Jesus needs some addicts, but Jesus needs some addicts who are addicted to Jesus. You know, Jesus needs some builders who can help build the kingdom of God. Jesus needs some sowers who can sow the word and seed around. Jesus needs, he needs farmers and sowers, shepherds and sheep, fathers and sons and brothers, kings and servants, husbands and wives, brothers and sisters, workers of the fields, overseers and landowners, bosses and hired hands. Jesus needs all the kinds of people that he told stories about. Because the invitation of the gospel is, come to me all. Not some, all. And yet, how can we purposefully make an invitation for somebody to come into the kingdom of God if we won't even spend time getting to know them and know their story and let them know that they're loved because their story matters and who they are matters. And listen, even the bad stuff matters. Listen, I love about the story about the demon-possessed man is, what did Jesus tell him to go do?
About the demon.
Well, return home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him.
Yeah. Now, the how much there in the original language means the whole story. That would mean the good, the bad, and the ugly also.
Yeah.
And so that would mean the greatness of God's grace and also the depravity found in the fact that he was demon-possessed at one time. He had done some really horrible and heinous things. And the grace of God is bigger than all of those things. But you can't do that unless you get to know all of somebody's story. When we read the Gospels and we see Jesus at work, Jesus has the benefit that he is God, that God's Spirit is leading him in a profound way, that God knew the story of this demon-possessed man so much so that he sent Jesus to the other side to heal him and to bring him into the kingdom. But we have that same thing where we go to distant shores, which might be across the street or to our neighbor, and we get to know them and we get to know their stories. And for some of us, like Mark was saying, it might be a long journey. It might be a long journey, but one of the quotes that stuck in the back of my craw for a long time is Andrew Peterson. He authored the album Behold the Lamb of God, and he's written books, and he's a Christian musician, really along the veins of Rich Mullins. And he says, if you want somebody to know the truth, teach them the truth. But if you want them to love the truth, tell them a story about the truth. And what greater story could we have than the story about our neighbor who once was lost but now was found? Who we got to say the kingdom of God is near and it is right here and it is at hand. And God wants to use people just like you to build his kingdom. And I think that's important, but we can't do that unless we first spend time, as Mark so aptly pointed out, listening to them and knowing their story. It's not enough to know our own stories. We have to know their stories also.
I was just going to say, getting to know people and listening to their story, that's the way it is. You really, every time you meet someone, you want to find something out about them that you can appreciate them about. And that's what you get from listening to their stories. Everybody has some good and some good that you can appreciate about. Create a friendship.
I'm just fascinated with the concept of listening because I don't know how good of a listener I am. I know I'm a talker, but the importance of listening, that's really valuing and loving on somebody because you care enough to pause and to shut your mouth and to take an interest, because when you listen, it's active. You have to be quiet and pay attention, and probably through your facial expressions, your interest level in them, you're showing that care, that compassion, that love. And I think that's why Jesus was so effective. One of the many reasons is he was a great listener, and he used storytelling to touch hearts and reach them in a way that those that looked at the birds of the air, maybe they were bird watchers, or all the illustrations that he gave were very common things that they all could identify with.
Yeah, and I would just throw this caveat in at the end here is this, is that we are good at listening, but what we're good at doing is listening to respond. So we hear and then we grab a hold of something, we go, oh, I'm going to talk about that when I get my turn to talk. But there is a different art form to listening to just listen. Listening because you care. Listening because you go, oh, I'm going to file that away. That's really interesting. I want to know more about why they do that and why that happened that way and why they do what they do and all of those kinds of things.
I was thinking of the story of the woman at the well. Mm. Just goes along with just everything you were saying and how Jesus interacted with that woman.
Yeah, and asked her those probing questions about her husband and husbands.
All those things.
And yet it really allowed her to leave aware that this guy was more than just an average Joe. He was a prophet. He was a man of God.
And she carried it right back to her home.
She did, yeah. Evangelized the Samaritan population.
Listening, obviously, is the topic we need to reinforce in our minds and hearts today. And I would hope that you would listen to God's voice. He cares for you. He loves you. He wants you to be a part of a vibrant group of believers that follow his word. So be in church on Sunday. Seek after him while he can be found by listening to him. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day, night, and weekend.